Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Sam Kwok here, one of the Kwok Brothers, and welcome to a Landlording Automated Podcast. We have a special guest, Mr. Bob Floss.
Thank you.
Do we have to add the second in there, too? Bob Floss the
second? Yeah, there's a Bob Floss on Bob Floss the second. So okay. Keep everything straight, Bob Floss the second.
Right. So you are an attorney.
Yes.
And you've been in the real estate field for how long?
11 years. Well, real estate law for 11 years.
Wow.
I did real estate before that, so I started out doing property management.
Oh, really?
I was an agent for a while.
Wow.
And then I always wanted to go to law school. So
I didn't know that part about that's pretty cool. So for those who are watching Landlords, we're going to be talking about three segments throughout the podcast. If you're listening to the audio, obviously you'll get the three segments in one audio file. But on YouTube, we'll have this broken up to three separate videos. So all those video links will be down below if you need to go navigate. So the first thing I want to talk about, I think this is in everyone's mind, how do we protect our investment? So let's talk about asset protection.
Okay.
We get this question a ton of time. And this seems to be the case of argument on Facebook time and time again.
Yes.
Is LLCs, LLPs, what are they? Like, what can you break down what they do, what the benefits are of having an LLC?
So the whole idea of having an LLC, whatever vehicle you want to use. Some people, I get asked about doing like a sub-S, stuff mm-hmm. like that too. The idea with any of it is you want to shield your assets. And the idea is when you create an LLC, it becomes like a living, breathing entity mm-hmm. all by itself. So if something goes wrong with the property, and all this is being done in case something goes wrong.
Right.
Now, if everything goes right, then you don't have to worry about everything. But mm-hmm. we're trying to create a contingency plan so something goes wrong with the property. So if something goes wrong,
mm-hmm.
You insulate the risk into that one little portion of it. So if you have a set number of properties in an LLC, mm-hmm. something goes wrong, someone tries to sue you, you're limiting the risk of your loss to whatever assets are within that LLC.
Right.
So that's where we get into where we have the series LLC mm-hmm. now, and everyone always wants to know, should I do the regular LLC or series LLC?
Yeah.
And I tell them it depends on your state. So mm-hmm. not every state has a series LLC
right.
yet. Illinois does. So everyone in Illinois wants to do the series LLC.
Mm-hmm.
And how the series LLC works is you have the and we used to do this with mm-hmm. the way it was before. It's just now we call it a series LLC, where you have one LLC
mm-hmm.
With the series. It's like we call it like the parent LLC.
Yep.
It just sits there. It doesn't own anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the series. So you have, Sam's LLC, and then you have Sam's LLC Series A, Series B, Series
right.
C. And each of those series is going to own property. Might mm-hmm. own one property, could own 10 properties, whatever you decide you want to do.
Right.
So if something goes wrong, gets insulated to that one individual LLC. Then the added step is the profit that each series is making, or the mm-hmm. profit that you're individual LLCs are making, are going to flow into that parent LLC.
Right.
So you have all of your cash mm-hmm. sitting in the parent with no risk involved with it.
Interesting.
So if something goes wrong with any of the individual LLCs or any of the individual series LLCs,
mm-hmm.
you're insulating the risk to that, but you're not risking any of the cash flow. What we want to do is make sure wherever all of your cash flow is sitting
mm-hmm.
is completely insulated, doesn't have anything going on with it.
Yeah.
We sometimes still do the old method, which is just have one LLC that's just your mm-hmm. master LLC. And then you just set up different LLCs because
right.
you might want to do different JVs. You might want to mm-hmm. do different partnerships. You might want to bring in different people on different deals.
Yeah.
So we might do individual LLCs.
Is that the normal thing? So if I'm expecting a ton of partners, do I want individual LLCs versus a sub-series?
So if you think you're going to be doing a lot of different situations where you're constantly going to be bringing in different partners, different JVs on mm-hmm. different deals, sometimes it's easier
yeah.
to do a different LLC for each one because I like it better because mm-hmm. in the actual operating agreement of the LLC, we can really spell out what everyone's responsibilities are, what everyone's going to make on the deal. We can really go into a lot more detail as far
right.
as what the protections are for everyone involved. Versus if you just try to, and I get it, sometimes people just want to shoehorn investors into an existing plan, and then we have to have ancillary documents.
So,
make
so
it more complicated.
For those who are brand spanking you, what is an operating agreement?
So an operating agreement, when you do your LLC, all right, so let's go back to the beginning. So when you do an LLC, you decide you want to create a company that's going to shield mm-hmm. your assets, which is great. Number one, it's funny, the hardest part people have sometimes right off the bat is to name it. Yeah. I get people, they're like, I want to do it right now. Okay, what's the name? And they just blank stare. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, you got to come up with a name.
So, right.
So you got to come up with a name first. You file it with the state, the Secretary mm-hmm. of State. That process is fairly simple. Just articles of organization. Yeah. You pay the fee. You create it. You say who the members are. You have to have an address in Illinois if you're located out of state or out of the country. You have to have someone that's right. going to be get service of process. So you have to have an address in Illinois. And then the hard part is, mm-hmm. and this is where people get caught up with LLCs, they'll file it, they create it, and then they don't do the operating agreement. Because the operating agreement is the hard part.
Right.
Operating agreement could be 15 pages, could be 30 pages, could be 50 pages. Sometimes yeah. they get very extensive depending on how complicated your partnership structure is. It's the document that actually talks about mm-hmm. what everyone's going to do, what your yeah. voting percentage is, who can has the powers to do what, who can mm-hmm. sign the contract, who can sign the settlement statement, what the profit sharing was going to be. I don't know if I said that right. All the responsibilities that everyone has.
Right.
And that's really important that you do that. It's mm-hmm. such an important step, because if you skip that, then you really don't have anything to kind of steer you mm-hmm. when things are supposed to happen, or who decides what, right. or, you know, if there's a disagreement with partners down the line, you don't have this document to say, okay, this is what we agreed mm-hmm. upon. So it's so important to do that.
Right.
And once you get that done, then you apply for the EIN. That's really easy. You just go yeah. on the IRS website, you apply for the EIN. Your EIN is like a social security number for your company.
Right.
So once you get that EIN, you can go and you can open up the bank accounts. You can yeah. do whatever you want to do.
So I have another question, but we'll get to that in just okay. one sec. All but right. what's the have you seen an LLC being sued? And what is that? So, because remember, when we talked about the LLC, it's all about asset protection. We're trying yeah. to protect our liability. So, have you ever seen a LLC being attacked, right? And what was the yes. defense like?
So when someone attacks an LLC, mm-hmm. what the term of art for it is piercing the corporate veil.
Right.
So, piercing the corporate veil is, remember, when we're setting up the LLC, you have mm-hmm. your assets in there. And the whole idea is if someone wants to sue, they can only sue the LLC,
right.
and it's limited to whatever's in the LLC. Mm-hmm. But when an attorney is suing the LLC, what they really yeah. want to do is get at the investor. They want to get
right.
at
the individual.
Person, the person
right.
with the deep pockets.
Yep.
In order to do that, we call that piercing the corporate veil, because mm-hmm. there's this layer of protection. Typically, when we're piercing the corporate veil, there's some sort of fraud involved.
Mm.
So typically, we're dealing with some situation where the investor, the person who is running the LLC, mm-hmm. committed some sort of fraud against the investor. An example of a fraud would be if you took out a whole bunch of line of credit for the business mm-hmm. and then took all the money out of the business, used it for something else, and purposefully bankrupted the business.
I see.
If you took out a bunch of credit against the business sort of fraudulently, mm-hmm. then no one knew that you were doing that. Something where you acted improper.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you acted within the powers of the LLC and that operating agreement, mm-hmm. you're fine. Even if you made a bad investment.
Yeah.
A bad investment in itself is not fraud. You just made a mistake. Right. You know, you can make a bad investment. That doesn't mean they get to pierce mm-hmm. the corporate veil. Most of the time, piercing the veil involves some sort of improper action.
Yeah,
by
there's
the
also commingling as well, right?
Commingling, yeah.
Right.
That's another. If you and that's if you have like one account, and I always, it's a good point.
Yeah.
I always tell people whenever you're doing the LLC, make sure you get that EIN number mm-hmm. and have individual bank accounts for all right. your LLCs. People don't like to hear that. I've had to do it. It's such a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Going
I know.
To the bank and you sit there and you end up sitting there for like 3 hours and you're like, can you just open the account? I yeah. want to go. But you have to do it. You have right. to do it. So if you have commingling, would be if you have one account and you have all of the money from all of the properties going into one mm-hmm. account. That would be a commingle situation. Now, right. sometimes you can have that if you have a property management company, and that's fine. But if you have one LLC and you're just kind of dumping all the money in right. there, it creates a problem where whose money is what that's supposed right. to be sitting in this account, and you don't want to have
And
that.
I imagine it's something that, you know, if an LLC gets pierced or attempts to get pierced, it's something that a judge probably look at, right? Just counting of it.
Yeah, and it is very difficult to pierce a corporate veil.
Mm.
The courts are on the side of enforcing or keeping the idea of an LLC,
right.
Intact.
Yeah.
But again, if you did something really mm-hmm. improper, someone can prove fraud, then that kind of goes by the wayside.
Yeah. So here's the magic question that I get into this argument a lot on Facebook.
Okay.
And I'm not an argument kind of guy, right? But I have to stand by the truth.
Yeah.
What is the difference between, because there's this weird thing going around the street in the landlording and investor community.
Okay.
What is the difference between having an LLC mm-hmm. versus just having an umbrella policy?
Okay, I knew you were going to ask. Yeah.
That's the magical question that a lot of people
so
ask.
What you're talking about is there's this growing number of investors that believe you don't have to spend the money on an LLC.
Mm.
Just keep everything in your personal name and have a huge umbrella insurance policy. Mm-hmm. So you have this massive insurance policy that covers you for anything that can happen. I think the last time I saw someone post that, they said, you know, just have, I think it was like 300,000 and a million, I think it was 300,000 per incident, a million total or something like that. My concern with that is if something goes wrong with a property,
mm-hmm.
The insurance is only going to cap your loss. It's not going. Yeah. It doesn't mean now you're covered for anything that could go wrong with the property. If they put this huge umbrella policy on there, whatever the amount of your umbrella policy is,
mm-hmm.
is only going to cap how much they can recover from that policy. And then if it's more than that,
right.
they can still come after you then personally at that point. So, you know, it's I guess if you get just an unlimited amount of money on mm-hmm. there, I guess you could do that. My concern is, you know, something really serious happens. There's a fire. And then if you say you have a fire and then there's a wrongful death or something mm-hmm. on the property, I mean, $1 million isn't going to cover you.
Oh, no.
I mean, if it's something really and that's what we're trying to prepare for. We're trying to prepare for absolute worst case scenario. Something horrible goes mm-hmm. wrong with the property. And I have had that. I've had horrible fires at properties.
Yep.
Knock on wood, I've never had any kind of wrongful death or anything like
that.
But you can run into scenarios where, and I've seen other property owners run mm-hmm. into this, you know, you send a contractor in, maybe the contractor does some work, maybe the electrical is done faulty.
Right.
You know, there's a fire, there's a wrongful death, someone died in the fire. $1 million is not going to cover you.
And it's funny because the same type of people who get the umbrella policy versus the LLC oftentimes has a mindset of I'm going to go with the cheap route and maintenance as well. And I'm not saying always, but I've seen that same train of thought and I'm not attacking anybody. Just want to make sure, you know, camera land people know, but it's the mindset of what's quick, you know,
what's easy.
Yeah.
I also think it's a little short-sighted just as a practical standpoint,
oh, yeah.
as far as an investor. If you just have everything in your personal name,
mm-hmm.
Aside from just protection standpoint,
yep.
If you're opening up all these individual LLCs, you have all these properties, you know, in these individual LLCs, you're giving yourself also, you have to remember the opportunity to have all these individual companies that can now build up credit,
right?
That have the opportunity to take out lines of credit.
Yes.
You're expanding your opportunity to really grow this mm-hmm. business as an enterprise instead of just having everything in your personal name.
Right.
If you have everything in your personal name, it really, you know, if you talk to any investors, once you reach certain thresholds, once mm-hmm. you get to maybe 10, 20, 30 properties, and everything's in your name,
oof.
It actually, not even from a protection standpoint,
right.
but then when you go in to try to get lines of credit,
right,
you try
financing.
To take out mortgages, yeah. it's actually really problematic.
Mm-hmm.
I have lots of clients that usually... I would say the threshold is about 10 properties. So usually someone will come into my mm-hmm. office and say, you know, I bought 10 properties. A lot of times they did like FHA, owner-occupied properties, and they accumulated a bunch
yep.
of them. Or they just took out mortgages in their personal name to buy a bunch of properties. And usually they come to my office when they get to about maybe 10 to 15.
Mm.
And they say, okay, I think I need to do asset protection now because I have way too much in my personal name. And typically, it's not because they get scared. It's because now they've gotten 10 or 15 properties, and they've gone to buy another property, and they go to get a loan,
mm-hmm.
and the banks just say, we can't underwrite you have too
much.
Yeah, we just can't give you any more money. And they realize, oh, I can't expand anymore. So
mm-hmm.
now we have to put this batch of properties in this LLC, this batch of properties in this LLC. Now I can take out lines of credit. Now I can get, you know, credit cards against them. I can build up credit for those businesses. And now I can use these individual businesses mm-hmm. to expand more from that point. So it's a little short-sighted when people say, oh, just put everything in your personal name. You're going to reach a point. You're going to reach a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hit it hard. We're going to realize, I can't get any more money. Right. Unless you do a really good job of promoting yourself and you get private investors, but that's a whole different, you know, a whole different conversation. I mean, the more investment we can get from being able to go to a hard money lender, go to a bank or whatever, you want to be able to do that. Or a line of credit. I mean, the best thing you could do is get a line of credit.
Right. Well, my opinion always has been that the umbrella policy is like a, it's more of a damage control than anything. And then the LLC is more of a deterrent, right? You want to shield yourself from a possible.
Yeah, it's a deterrent. It's a deterrent. Yeah. It's just good business. You can write off expenses more. You could do more stuff. It's just there's so much involved with it. I think it's really the whole umbrella policy thing. I think is really short-sighted. It's kind of being cheap.
Yeah.
And there's so much more possibilities when you have the LLCs involved. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I always close. So whenever I buy a new property, I 30 days before closing, or even sometimes 10 days before closing, file a new LLC.
Yeah.
And then, you know, let it age with the property too. You know, it's just been, that's been a topic of a heated discussion on Facebook everywhere on the streets.
I see them a lot on BiggerPockets. Yeah, I know. Jump on there and they just love saying, oh, no, don't you just do the umbrella policy. It's like,
Right. Yeah, where did you get your bar license?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's I almost want to ask him how many properties do you have.
Oh yeah,
I
mean, sure.
There's no way you have 50 properties. You probably have five. You know, and you just don't know that you're going to reach a point where you're going to reach a critical mass where you're just not going to be able to add any more properties. Then you go, oh, okay, I got to put everything in LLC.
Yeah. So we're going to go and transition to the next segment here. So for those who are in the video world, there's the part two down below, or you may be watching this and. We may drip the content, meaning we'll release this out probably following week or next week. Be sure to subscribe and like this video. This will help us a lot on our YouTube algorithm as well. So we're going to go into the next segment here.